Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus told a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Like love and marriage, Frank would say, or a horse and carriage, you can't have one without the other. Self-righteousness and contempt are as inseparably linked as their opposite, justification and sanctification. And so Jesus says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector, who, by the way, is a parasite on our community. I, however, fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, Jesus continues, stood far off, and would not lift his eyes to heaven, but struck his chest and said, Almighty God, have mercy on me, forgive me my sins, and lead me to everlasting life. I tell you, Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. If only the story would end there. Happily, could we condemn the Pharisee and congratulate ourselves for our humility. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, we might pray. I thank you that I am not like those pompous Pharisees who extort by the gospel and are unjust in their tithing, as Jesus says earlier in Luke, by neglecting justice and adulterating the love of God. Yes, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, who don't offer their prayers as humbly as I do. I am so humble, in fact, that I probably should get an award. If only the story would end there, we might merrily go on our self-deceiving way. But it doesn't. You can't have one without the other, and self-righteousness is always active in works of contempt. So to borrow the words from today's Old Testament reading, the Pharisee was very angry when Jesus had no regard for his offering, and his face fell. And after they had left the temple, when they were outside the walls in the field, the Pharisee rose up against his tax-collecting brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to the Pharisee, "Where is your brother?" And he replied, "I don't know, and why should I care? I thank you that I'm not like him. So weak and so vulnerable, so sinful and needy, should I then keep him, help and support him, defend him, protect him, and love him? He who could not even care for himself." And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground." Thus everyone who hates his brother, John writes in his first epistle, is a murderer. Instead, John says, we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who is of the evil one and murdered his brother because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. But beat our breast we must, for daily the Pharisee dwelling within us delights in destroying those who belong to the kingdom of God, those like the tax collector and those like Abel. The son of Adam still clings to the lie that I am not like other men. The lie that I am not like the tax collector who must beg for mercy that I don't deserve. The lie that I'm not like Cain, whose self-righteous contempt murdered his brother. Even the lie that I'm not like Abel, whose name means nothing, and knew by faith that was the trade for God's saving grace. As the writer to the Hebrews confirms this, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. By faith, the tax collector offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than the Pharisee, through which he was commended as righteous. Jesus commending him by accepting his gifts of a broken heart and sinful soul, which was all the tax collector had to offer the Lord. And so the story does not end there. Thanks be to Christ. And in the midst of his parable, people were bringing brephe to Jesus, little babes that, as far as we know, were both newborn and unborn. And when Jesus' Pharisaical disciples tried to sever their lives from the Lord, perhaps thanking the stars that they weren't little like that, Jesus said, "Suffer the little ones to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. For such is for whom our Savior suffered, those who are just like all other men, needy, helpless, dependent, who have nothing to offer but can only receive, little ones for whom another must be merciful." As Gilbert Mylander once remarked, the real mystery and miracle of baptism is not that the little ones should have the saving faith of an adult, but the real mystery and miracle of baptism is that we who fancy ourselves like the Pharisees, who think that we're so clever and strong, who trust in ourselves that we're righteous, that we should have the saving faith of a child who only knows neediness, a child whose worth is given and not earned, a child humbled by God to be exalted in Christ, and thus a child who must be brought to Jesus, to the sprinkled blood that fills the font, and there speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, the word, "I forgive you, I love you, your little life matters because you are mine." That sprinkled blood with which we're washed and of which we sup this day, that blood of Christ gives us by faith a better word to speak as well. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," we pray, "for I am indeed just like other men, sinful and unclean, a child of wrath like Cain, like the Pharisee, and like the rest of mankind. Moreover, God, I thank you as well that you have given me to be like every other man, a fellow fetus, as Paul Ramsey once said, without any merit or worth of my own, without achievement or triumph to claim, with nothing to offer but my own neediness, bound, in fact, by my belly button to the life of a mother, trusting she'll bring me to Jesus. So finally, O God, I thank you that one other man is just like me, that I might be bound by my baptism to the life of another who was born of a woman, one with me from the womb and through the tomb, whose incarnation gives value to life that is little, who suffered for little ones like me as no respecter of persons, be they strong or weak, honored or hated, idolaters or adulterers, whose blood speaks a word to the Father from the ground of Golgotha, a word that justifies sinners like me, a word that answers, "Where is your brother?" on my behalf, saying, "Right here with me, safe in my death and in my resurrection, for you can't have one without the other." Good Friday and Easter, confession and absolution, the death of the old and the life of the new, your God-given faith in Christ and his fervent love for your littlest brother. In the name of Jesus, amen.